Welcome to Sunshine Sisters, an interview segment focusing on the women making an impact in St. Petersburg today. I'm Karen Carmichael. My guest today is Esther Matthews. Esther is the president of the NAACP and All Administrative Solutions. She is the proud mother of two adult daughters who are also giving back to the community. Esther, welcome to Sunshine Sisters.
Thank you, Karen. Excited to be here. Excited to be a part of Sunshine Sisters, I'm sure, with a long line of powerful women.
So tell us a little bit about where you grew up.
Grew up right here in St. Petersburg. Family migrated here. I was 9 years old. My address growing up was 4100 14th Avenue South. So for those that are familiar with the city, they know that that is in the heart of the Childs Park neighborhood.
So what inspired you to get involved in St. Pete? Because I see you everywhere.
You know, interestingly enough, I have been involved in some form or the other in the city, not in civic work, but for many years, very involved with homeless services and homeless resources and all of the things of the things. Decided to really morph over into civic engagement. Really because of, at the time, two ladies that I really have to pay homage to. One of those ladies being Teresa Jones, who was a longtime resident of the city of St. Petersburg, and at the time very involved with homeless services, and a lady, Maria Scruggs Weston, who was at the time the president of the St. Petersburg NAACP. So she had been trying to get me involved for many years. And finally, time presented itself, and I became the housing chair of the branch. And very shortly thereafter, became the president of the branch, and then it has been full speed ahead since.
So when did you become president?
Took the presidency in 2020 and literally navigated COVID and all of the things during that space and time.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun trying to run an organization through COVID, right?
It was something.
So what do you see as St. Pete's biggest challenge?
I think I'll think of the challenge, but I also want to start by saying that we have had some leaders who are combating the challenge, who are finding solutions for the challenge, who are being very intentional with breaking the barriers of this challenge that I'm going to bring forth. But I think the challenge is really the vision that St. Pete is two cities. You have North and South. And unfortunately, sometimes when you drive through, you can see the division of the two. However, I do think that our city leadership, Mayor Welch, and some of our electeds are being very intentional with combating that view and really doing the work to bridge the gaps between them. And so although I present the challenge, I also think that the solution is already unfolding itself.
I know you've done so many things.
Mm-hmm.
What's an accomplishment that you're the most proud of?
I'm going to tell you, Karen, and this is going to probably sound so cliche, but I think the thing that I am most proud of is being a mom. You know, oftentimes, getting pregnant young. I got pregnant at 17. I had her at 18. You really don't see your path forward. But I count a strong mother, a praying mom, who, although I was at times not the best behaved daughter, right? She consistently prayed for me, and she consistently encouraged me that there was a path forward and that I needed to be better for my daughter, singular at the time, and then daughters when I had my second baby girl. And I am grateful, and I do feel proud that both of my girls stand here not as single parents, not having children at all, and I don't really know if I'm ready to be a grandma yet, but accomplished within their own right, college educated, and standing firm in where they are. So I'm very proud of that.
And you should be. Sounds mm-hmm. like you should be proud of them.
Thank you.
Who was your mentor?
Oh, man, I have had several through the years. I think, you know, oftentimes as we go through different waves of our lives, different people show up for us in ways. And again, you know, my mom has always stood out as a strong mentor for me. Although she's no longer here, her anecdotes and her encouragement still reign very true. I count Teresa Jones as a mentor. She stood up in a space and time where I needed her the most and encouraged me through some challenging oftentimes. I count Gypsy Gallardo as a mentor. You know, Gypsy stood with me through COVID and some other years, encouraging me and giving me some guidance as I took my business to the next level. I count Commissioner Renee Flowers as a mentor. She really has stood up as a big sister. And oftentimes when I need to run some things by someone that's going to give me real talk at real time, Commissioner Flowers is the one that I'll reach for. And believe it or not, like, my oldest daughter, Deshaun, is a mentor because her mom is something else. And she is oftentimes more like a sister than a daughter in how she shows up and really gives me guidance in some spaces where sometimes I hit walls. And so, yes, many have shown up for me in many different ways over the years, but I think that that's normal. And that as we go through waves of life, different people can show up for us.
Yeah, there are angels along the way.
Yeah, man.
Right? You never know where they're going to appear.
Yeah, and I'm so utterly grateful for each and every person.
What do you like about your job?
I own a staffing agency, and I think that it is important. One of the focal points of my staffing agency is second chance employment. And I think it's very important for people to know that people will hit bumps in the road, and it's how they get themselves up, dust themselves off, and move forward. And oftentimes, they just simply need someone to believe in them and to give them a yes. And so my firm has been very intentional with giving people yeses and getting them employed, not just into jobs, but into careers. And so I'm very proud of that. I like doing it. I like the individuals that I staff and employ and deploy to jobs. Very proud to say that several of them have been hired on full-time with the city of St. Petersburg. And so this gives them a very bright light at the end of what sometimes is a very dark tunnel. I'm proud of that.
It's hard to put your life back together.
And man, people forget that these are just people and they really just want a chance to prove themselves. And oftentimes they are the best employees that you can come across.
Then what does a typical workday look like for you?
It's never typical. It's never typical. So I'm an early riser. I get up every day probably about 5:35, 45, and I jump on emails and sometimes make calls to get kind of to touch in with my people, you know, my circle. One of them is Renee Edwards. I think you had her here before. She's one of my everyday calls in the morning as we level set with each other. But I am normally out of the office and to my office at about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and then it's full speed ahead and all of the stuff. It's never typical. It's always someone walking in the door because they've heard of what we do and they want more information. Oftentimes it's conversations with the city, seeing where we can fill gaps, but not just St. Pete, other municipalities as well. Navigating calls from everyone, reaching out, hearing again. Just last week, navigated a call with Phoenix, Arizona. They heard about our second chance employment and they want to see how we can incorporate that with them. So it's never typical, but it's always exciting.
So do you send people out of state and you find jobs with people all over the country?
So typically what we do, we will not deploy from the city to a different city. We will hire from that city and deploy within that city. So with the city of Phoenix, knock on wood, if the program is accepted there, we will stand up an office there and we will connect with those individuals that need second chance hiring. We will take them through our process, which is all of the normal processes for any employment agency, navigate through what second chance looks like for them, have the conversations with the municipality, and then deploy them to the departments.
So when someone comes to you, mm-hmm. they already like maybe have a college degree, but they've had some trouble with the law maybe, mm-hmm. and then you try to place them, or do you help them get training, or like what's the process there?
So it's all of the above. So they may come to us with no degree, mm-hmm. and maybe their deployment is to a labor position, and maybe the conversation is, or typically the conversation is, where do you see yourself in 3, 5, 10 years, right? And if they see themselves in a position with a degree, then yes, we connect them to the resources. And those resources could be GED related. We're going to connect them to Sanderlin Center. Those resources can be FDOT training. We're going to connect them to PERC because PERC has that tiny homes program that provides those certifications. But whatever within the city the need is, we will do the connections, but we will make sure that not only are the connections made, but they are employed. They may come to us with a degree, and so maybe it's not necessarily an upskill piece that's needed. It's just a connection to the job. Then we'll find the best job for them and place them.
And if somebody wanted more information about this, it's just All Administrative Solutions and you're online?
Absolutely. www.alladministrativesolutions.com. There are job listings on the website. There's a form to connect to us, even if it's an individual looking for employment or it's an employer looking for individuals. The reach out forms are there. Reach out to us. Our team will reach out to them and we will start the conversations.
So do you travel much? Do you get out of town at all?
Girl, I'm all over the place. It is funny because everyone knows that I will jump on a plane at the drop of a dime. I believe in go hard time, but I also believe in go hard with downtime. And so literally, I was in Ghana for 10 days in December. I came back on the 1st, and it's been full speed ahead. I think that many of us, especially us ladies, we work a lot. When we commit to something, we go really hard at the paint. So it's important for us to unplug and go somewhere. And oftentimes going somewhere is out of your house and jumping on a plane and seeing something that you haven't seen. So I believe in it.
What was it like in Ghana?
Oh my God. You're going to get me sentimental. Ghana is beautiful. Ghana is a place of love. So born in Jamaica, I was born in Jamaica. We came here. I was 9 years old when we came. I never really had a connection of where my people came from, right? So if I was born in America, Black people were brought from Africa. And so there's a connection. But for me, I never had a connection. Well, when I went to Ghana, not only did I find my connection, but historically I could actually connect my roots. And so Ghana, before it became Ghana, was the Gold Coast. The Gold Coast, individuals from the Gold Coast in the slave trade were taken from there and directly taken to Jamaica. And so I'm able to see historically my people left from the Gold Coast. They didn't leave on their own. They were taken from the Gold Coast and taken to Jamaica. And that is my direct connection to Africa. And so my people, and many of the people in Africa are of the Ashanti tribe in Ghana. And that's historically my roots.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
I was so excited when I found out. I have chills now because I know I belong, right?
Sure.
I know that I'm Black, and I know that Africa is our home, but to know that my lineage is clearly now connected, and this is it, and I know that Ghana is where I come from. It was the Gold Coast, and I am of the Ashanti tribe. I can say that proudly.
Amazing.
Thank you.
So do you read much or do you listen to podcasts? Do you go to the movies? You got something you can recommend for our listeners?
Oh, gosh, I am. So I am a bookworm. I am a podcast fanatic. I'm so glad that this question was asked because there are so many things that I thought about, like, what do I want to talk about? So in particular, there's a podcast that specifically speaks to the relations of African Americans and how we connect to our ancestors and how we connect to not just our ancestors, but foundationally where we are now, and how important it is for one, us to know what our heritage is, but also so that we can know our path forward. And in that, it allows us to talk to our allies, have conversations with our allies, have conversations with those individuals that may not look like us, but show up for us. and how we can have that bridge and help them to have uncomfortable conversations in spaces where they want to show up. So the name of the podcast is What Does It Mean to Show Up? And it's simply a way for Black people to guide and support their allies and their friends as they show up for them. And oftentimes we don't necessarily need to be there when they show up, but just their acknowledgement and their comfort in the conversation will ensure that they share the word, do the outreach, so that in interactions and in conversations, everyone is comfortable.
Nice. What does it mean to show up?
What does it mean to show up?
All right. How about a book or a movie?
So I just watched Tyler Perry's new movie. I think a good movie for folks to watch, and it literally just came out by Tyler Perry. It's the 6888, and it's about a troop of African-American women who were deployed to go through soldiers' mails that had been stored in a bunker. And it was like thousands, like over 100 or so thousand envelopes of mail and packages and things that had just kind of gotten lost in the deployment or was not even shipped out because there was no one to go through it. The soldiers had begun to kind of get downtrodden. They weren't, you know, their motivation was low. And this troop was deployed in horrible conditions to go through. And the leader of it not only led her troop, but also was able to get all of the mail sorted, get it deployed out, build the morale. And when they came back, soldiers saluted them for that. Now, the interesting part is, it kind of ended there, right? They didn't get any accolades. They didn't get formal acknowledgement from the military or formal acknowledgement from the president. And it has taken Tyler Perry many years later to bring them back to the forefront. But it was exciting to watch because, again, women showing up in these ways and in these circumstances where we have for many years been the critical piece to make things happen, but we're always forgotten in the long-term viewpoint.
Well, good for him.
It was fantastic. 6888.
6888. So we've been speaking with Esther Matthews. Yes. She is the president of the NAACP. Yes. And also the president of All Administrative Solutions.
Yes.
Esther, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen. I am grateful and appreciative for the invite.
This was Sunshine Sisters, Women Making an Impact in St. Petersburg today. I'm Karen Carmichael.
Yay!